Okay, learning we do this morning should be for Ilui Nishmas Shakri Shalom Ben Mashallah Neshama Shavin, a continued Aliyah. Okay, we are in the third parak of Erchin, and we are going to start this morning a little talk on Lashon Hara. Now, I say a little talk on Lashon Hara, this is pretty much it, meaning in Shas, in the 2,700 pages of Shas, so this daf of Gemara, which is really yesterday's daf more than today's daf, is really the basis for all the halachos of Lashon Hara. Okay, we'll try not to speak Lashon Hara, but we will try this morning to learn the halachos of Lashon Hara as it comes through the Gemara. The Gemara is going to be slightly more medrash than it is halacha, but certainly powerful. Both sides of the discussion are going to be powerful, and the whole discussion starts with a Mishnah. We're in the Mishnah in Tezvav Amud Aleph, and we begin on B'motzi Shemer L'Hakol L'Hachmer. Now remember, the third parak of Erechin primarily is interested in the discussion of fixed rates, meaning in the Torah tells us that we have to pay, and sometimes we have to pay regardless of what the quality is of whatever we're paying for. And it could be talking about people, and it could be talking about objects as well. Primarily people, really. But we just spent the daf yesterday talking about land, and how sometimes land, when it's bought back from the Beis HaMikdash, is bought back at a fixed rate. Okay, and now we talk about our Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra, defamation of character. Man marries a woman, and after having intimacy with her after the first night, he says the next day, she wasn't a basula. She was not a virgin, and I suspect he says of her that she engaged in adulterous relationship during our period of Kedushin. Right, Kedushin is much more than engagement. Kedushin means that they were actually married, husband and wife. Hariat Mekudeshes Li creates a Kedushin, creates a marriage between the two of them. And so this is what he says of her after the first night. And this is, now he could be telling the truth, or he could be making up a story, or just simply not basing himself on any type of fact whatsoever. So if he's telling the truth, then the only way we're going to know is if it's corroborated by witnesses. So then obviously, you know, she's in trouble. She's going to be in serious trouble. Especially if, in fact, she did have relations with another man during the period of Kedushin. But if he was not telling the truth, if he was being what's called Motzi Shemra, just defamation of character, and he was lying, so then he's going to get Malkus, and he's got to pay her a knas of 100 shkalim. I don't think in the Torah there's a larger knas than this knas for defamation of character. Meaning we talked about yesterday being ma'anis, a man violating a woman, and there the knas is 50 shkalim, which is a significant sum of money. Over here now, it's 100, it's twice that amount. The Mishnah is going to point out in just a moment, wow, just for defamation, it's twice as much. But even objectively, I don't think there's another knas this large. For an Evik Kanani, 30 shkalim, right? For Erchin, which isn't a knas, but it's 50 shkalim. I don't know if there's a payment this high in all of Torah. Now here it doesn't matter who was being defamed, meaning the quality of the woman that he just married. No sin mea sela. He's got to pay 100 sela. Nimsa ha'omer b'thiv chamer mina osamasa. So the Mishnah now makes the obvious observation that if you speak with your mouth, that's a greater it's a greater violation than doing an action. Meaning, and the Mishnah doesn't spell it out, but it's clear that we're comparing this Mishnah with the previous Mishnah. Meaning in the previous Mishnah, we're talking about a man being ma'anis a woman. That's physical violation of a woman. And there, the penalty is 50 shkalim. And here, for defamation, it's 100 shkalim. And so the Mishnah makes the obvious conclusion, just based on numbers and based on quantity, it's worse. Defamation must be worse. In fact, the Gemara goes on to continue. She came out the initial gzar din alavas and bimidbar ella aloshan hara. In fact, the Jews in the desert, right? We weren't the easiest bunch in the desert, right? We were difficult. It's funny. Right after I just said don't speak lashon hara, now I'm speaking. Well, hopefully not lashon hara, but I'm just, you know, just stating the facts. But we were difficult. We were, and as we'll learn in just a moment, that's also Lashon Hara, just stating the facts. But we were a difficult bunch in the Midbar. And meanwhile, as difficult as we were, and you can talk about the Egel HaZahav, and the Gemara's going to go through all the details of, you know, all the story details of what we did in the desert. But when did we finally have a gzardin? Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, enough is enough, and that's Lashon Hara. Specifically, Shenemar Vayinusu Osi Zehasar Pamim, we test HaKadosh Baruch Hu a total of 10 times. The Mishnah doesn't tell us the number 10, what those 10 times actually are. Stay tuned. Later this morning, we're gonna talk about what those 10 times are. But when all said and done, after all the times that we troubled HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lashon Hara was the Makeh B'Patish, that was the final blow. And that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, enough is enough. You people are not going into Israel. It's going to be the next generation, right? And we all know the end of that story. Now, Mimai, Dilma Mishum de Kagarim Leiketala, Dechse Ve'emes Haya Davar. The Gemara is going to try to really challenge the Mishnah on every step of the way. Meaning the Mishnah says, well, you see, for Motzi Shemra, you're paying 100. Oh, Motzi Shemra, defamation of character, that's the worst. So the Gemara says, maybe it's not defamation of character. Maybe it's because had he been telling the truth, she would have been killed. So it's not revelatory about how bad it is to defame somebody. Maybe it's just in that particular scenario, it happens to be so egregious simply because if he's telling the truth, she'd be put to death. So Amar Rav, Amar Krak, Ki Otzi Shem Ra, Al Shem Ra Shotzi. So Rav says no, because you read the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, Ki Hotzi Shem Ra. Why is he paying 100? Because he was Motzi Shem Ra. Meaning the Torah basically spells it out that the 100 slime fine that he has to pay is simply because of the defamation. Now the Mishnah says, you see that the Gzardin was over Lashon Hara, i.e. the story of the Meraglim. The Gemara says, maybe Lashon Hara is not any worse than any of the other sins. It just happens to be, that's when you finally had enough was enough. Right? Great expression in English, the straw that broke the camel's back. Meaning, look, the Meraglim is as bad as all the other stories that took place. It just happens to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally said enough. Not because it's Lashon Hara, just simply because it's enough. And right, one more straw, and it broke the camel's back. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not extract punishment until the measure is full. So, in other words, the Gemara just wants to know, how do you know it was there, some special heinous quality to Lashon Hara? Shenemar b'mla'os feiko yetzolo. So Amish Lakish, Amakrav, Yenusi, Osi, Zeh, Eser Pamim. Al Zeh Nischatim Gzardin. The word Zeh. Zeh means I'm pointing to this one. Meaning it's this one above anything else that results in a Gzardin. Tanya. Amarev Elazar ben Parta Borei Kama Gadol Koach Shel Lashon Hara. Minalim Meraglim. So you can see how bad Lashon Hara is just simply by looking at the Meraglim. Maha Motzi Shemra Al Eitzim V'Avanim. Because the Meraglim were speaking bad about whom? And the answer is not about whom, about what? Meaning they're talking about a land. Stones and sticks. Right? Sticks and stones. Okay? That's it. And meanwhile, the Jewish people suffered the punishment of, okay, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Kacha, Motzi Shem Ra, Chaver, Lachas Kama V'Kama. Now, if you're speaking Lashon Hara about inanimate objects, and that's their consequence. So, simple kal v'chomer. Imagine now if you're speaking about people. Okay. Mimai dama mishum de Rabbi Chanina bar Papa dama Rabbi Chanina bar Papa davar gadol dibru b'miraglim. I'm sorry. Davar gadol dibru miraglim ba'oso sha'a. The Gemara, again, challenging. The Gemara saying, maybe it's not the Lashon Hara that's so bad. Maybe they said something which was blasphemous. Specifically, what? The Gemara suggests, now, translated literally, it means they're too strong for us. Strong, well, that's right. That's the hidden meaning. That's the underlying meaning of their statement. But on the surface, the simple pshat in the pasuk is they're too strong for us. Al tikre ki chazak hu mimenu ela mimenu. Now, usually the al tikre actually changes the word. Don't read it like this, but read it like this, right? Al tikrei b'nayich, el b'nayich. Right here, it's actually the same word. Meaning, mimenu in Hebrew can go one of two ways. Mimenu can mean us, or mimenu means him. And so the Gemara says that was a hidden statement. meaning they're too strong for him, capital H. Blasphemy, right? As if to say, the Baal HaBayis, meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe he can't deal with them. Oh. So Ella, so in other words, what the Gemara now is suggesting is, it's not Lashon Hara per se. In other words, look at what they're actually saying. It's blasphemy. So Ella Amarava, Amareish Lakish, Amakrav, Yemusa Nashim, Otsia Dibas Ra'a Al Dibas Ha'aretz Shehotziu. So again, Rava says, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk itself indicates, it's not the blasphemy, it's simply because they said Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Tanya Amar Rav Yehuda, Esther Nisyonos Nisu Avasin LaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were 10 Nisyonos that we tested Hashem. What an unbelievable contradistinction. Meaning Hashem tested Avraham 10 times, and we, the Jewish people, tested Hashem 10 times in the Midbar. It's different types of tests. Meaning, you know, for Avraham, it's, you know, you pass the test, you fail the test. I don't know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets a grade pass-fail on these types of tests, but meaning to say that, you know, like we speak in English, we tested him. So, Shnayim B'yam, Shnayim B'mayim, Shnayim B'man, Shnayim B'slav, Achas B'egel, V'achas B'midbar Paran. Two regarding the Yam, meaning Yam Suf. Two regarding water, meaning there's not enough water for us to drink. Two regarding the Man, right? This is what we get to eat. And two regarding the Slav. And once by the ego, and once by Midbar Paran, that's better known to us as the story of the Meraglim. Okay. Step by step, now we get to go through each one of these 10 tests that we tested at Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shnayim b'yamstav, there are two by the yamstav. Achas b'yirida v'achas b'aliyah. B'yirida d'chziv ha'mivli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim. Okay, Parshas HaShavua. This week we're reading Parshas B'shalach. So as we are pinned against the Yam Suf and the Mitzvah are approaching us, so our complaint to Moshe was, "Hamibli ain't kvarim b'Mitzrayim." Like, you know, if we wanted to die, we could have done this in Egypt. We didn't have to come here to die. Okay, so that was one nisayon. That's one way where we tested God. And Aliyah. But then, even as Yam Suf opened up and split open for us, and even as we walk through Viter, we just continued. Kedir Rav Huna, right? This is a shtibel, so I get to speak a little Yiddish right now. So the Kedir Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, Yisrael Shabbos Ador Mikane Emuna Ayu. So the Jewish people in that generation were of little Emuna. Kedir Rav Bar Mari, Dam Rav Bar Mari, My Dechsiv Vayimaru Al Yam Suf. Sorry, let me read that again. Vayimaru Al Yam Bi Yam Suf, and we rebelled at the Yam. Be Yam Suf. Notice the wording. Be Yam Suf, meaning even while we were in Yam Suf, we rebelled. And here was our kvetch. Kishem shanu olim mitzad zeh, kach mitzrayim olim mitzad acher. You know, right, we exited on one end of the Yam Suf. I'm sure the Egyptians exited on the other end of the Yam Suf. Mm. So in other words, we're not out of the clear yet. Kadosh Baruch Hu, now what? Right? That was our kvetch. Amalo Kadosh Baruch Hu l'sar shal yam plot osam liyabasha. And then this medrash, I guess we'll call it a medrash, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the sar shal yam, the ministering angel in charge of the ocean, right? How often now have I been quoting Derech Hashem recently, right? The Ramchal writes that for every physical item there is in this world, there is a spiritual counterpart to it. He says it's true for every physical item in this world, and so for Yam Suf, there is also a Sar Shel Yam. There's a ministering angel of the ocean. In this case, Yam Suf. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now implores the Sar Shel Yam, that, you know, spit them out. In other words, you have the Egyptians, because the Egyptians, of course, did not exit the other side. The Egyptians were, in fact, in the water, drowned in the water. And so, as to prove to the Jewish people, you know, the Egyptians are dead, so he asks the Sar Shel Yam to give them up. But the Sar Shel Yam does not want to give them up, meaning we have them now, we have the Egyptians. Now, I don't fully understand what's the motivation. Why did the Sar Shel Yam want to keep the Egyptians? Okay, you gotta investigate that a little bit more. If you have something good, please share it with me. But anyway,
what's the natural teva when someone drowns?
Huh?
What's the natural teva when someone drowns?
Normally, they don't blow up right away.
No, I understand that, but why was what was the reluctancy of the Sar Shayam? Why didn't why?
Did he change his way?
Okay. So okay, maybe it's that simple. So the Sar Shayam Plodo Samli Yabasha Amalofanava Ribbon Shalom Klum Yesh Evishano Sinlo Rabba Matanova Chosevinot Lahimenu. So the Sar Shayam says to Kosh Baruch, it's not fair. It's not. Meaning you gave me a gift and now you want me to give it back? So Amarlo Anino Sin Khaya Mechsa Shabaham. So Kosh Baruch says, I'll pay you back. And I'll pay you back 1.5, right? 50% more. Okay, you want to ask me questions about ribbis? You can. And I think it's a fair question, but it's okay. So sin echad umechzer shebehem. Amar l'fan Rabban Shalom klum yesh evish toveya es rabo. So the Sar Shalom says, yeah, but that's so awkward. Meaning because in my ribbis joke, I was being serious in the fact that basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Sar Shalom, like, give me a loaner. Like, you know, and I'll pay you back. And the Sar Shalom says, yeah, but an Eved's not going to ask his Rav for the loan to be paid back. Meaning you're going to put me in a very uncomfortable position. I'm alone. Nachol kishon yeheyeh arev. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll get a guarantor. Nachol kishon, right, the Kishon River will be my guarantor. Miyad paltan liyabasha. So now that there's a guarantor in place, so now the loan is going to be origination of loan. Here we go. And Sar Shalom now spits the Egyptians out. Right, we'll be reading this week's Parsha. So he sees them die on Meis Asfasayam. Okay. So that's two times now by the Yamsuf that the Jews complain. One going in and one coming out. There is an extraordinarily famous comment by Tosfos, famous only because I know it. But there's a famous comment by Tosfos over here, and this picture of geography that we have in our standard editions of Tosfos, oh, help us. It's, first of all, I think that the correct way, it's like when you hold up any map. Like, you know, first of all, which way is up? So I think if you turn the Gemara along its length, I think that was the designated way of this map to be drawn, meaning I think east is facing to the top of the page. It's a very raw schematic of Israel. Right, I understand. It's tough. It's tough to really make out. Anyway, the point is as follows. Tosa says it over here, and the Rambam says it as well. You're going to find this in the Rambam in his commentary to Pirkei Avos. And they both say the following. We all have this picture, right? And you can thank, who's the director of the Ten Commandments?
Cecil B. DeMille.
Right. So, right, he kind of drew this picture for us, unfortunately. It's a good movie, I'm just saying, but unfortunate because, it distorts our view that what happened is that we went from one side of the Red Sea to the other side of the Red Sea. And it's... Not that it's not true, meaning, but Tosos over here, it's not the movie versus Tosos. It just happens to be Tosos over here says that's not correct. Tosos says they went from one, they basically made a 180. They looped. So in other words, they went in through Yam Suf on one end, and they basically came out the very same end, and they basically the Rambam describes it as a rainbow, meaning a semicircle. So they went in, they came out the same side. What's driving Tosus to say this? It's very simple. I mean, Tosus says this. I'm just paraphrasing right now. What drives Tosus to say this is as follows. Meaning, let's say the Jews are right. Let's say Mitzrayim did come out the other end. So what? Meaning, we now have a solid Red Sea separating us and them. And so why were the Jews in a panic? Oh, the Egyptians came out the other side. Okay. But we're on one side of Kriyas Yam Suf, and they're on the other side of Yam Suf. Fine. So what? But they knew, they understood that they basically did a 180, and they understood that they came out the same side. And so now, can you imagine, their thinking now is, oh, wait a second. We came out this side. The Egyptians must have come out the other side. And now, right, they must be right behind us. They must be right next to us, and that generated the panic of the Jewish people. And one of the reasons why Tosfos says it must be that they entered and came out at the same side. Okay? My wife will tell you, to quote my wife, the book is always better than the movie. Always. So the let's go back. Let's go to the Gemara. Let's continue in the Gemara. Shnayim b'mayim, two times by the water. Okay, water over here doesn't mean a river. Water meaning drinking water. B'mara uverifidim, once by Mara and once by Refidim. B'mara dechsi vayevol Mara sevelo yechlu lishtos. We got to Mara, and by the way, it's like immediately after Kriyas Yamsuf. It's jarring how immediately after the greatest open miracle in the history of mankind, we then get to Mara and there's no water to drink, and you know we start to complain, and you know there's no water over here. It's just jarring how those two events are back to back. I mean, after reading the Gemara right now, it's not crazy because we complained. I mean, we just learned that we complained like right after, like, right in the middle of Kriyas Yamsuf, right? The Pasuk in Tehillim, B'yam. So is it now so crazy that we complained even afterwards? No, but it's still jarring. So we got to Mara and there was no water to drink. Uksiv v'yilan ha'am am Moshe. So that is by Mara. Berefidim dichsi v'yichanu berefidim v'in mayim lishtos. We got to refidim and there was no water to drink there as well. Uksiv v'yerev ha'am im Moshe. Okay. So now we got two by the Am, two by mayim, four down, six to go. B'man. We're now up to the discussion of man. The pasuk says, "Al teitzu, don't go out on Shabbos to look for man. It's not coming on Shabbos. In fact, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you on Friday double portion. Hence our Mishnah Lechem that we eat on Shabbos. So don't go out on Shabbos. And meanwhile, some of us went out. Vayetzu, al tosiru, don't leave any over. Meaning, man is a daily event. It's a daily occurrence. So don't think, oh, you know, there may not be man coming tomorrow. So you know what? I'll store up. Vayosiru. Some people stored some over for the next day. Right? I'm sure others said this. Man is really amuna. Meaning, the words are extraordinarily similar to one another. Meaning, because we needed that amuna, that it's going to come every single day, even though, in other words, we have today, but it's gonna. Don't worry, it'll come tomorrow as well. Okay, Slav. Okay, that's the two by the man. Slav, two more, six down, four to go. Rishon b'shiftechem al sir habasar b'slav sheni v'asa suf asher b'kirbo. So once in Shmos, right? We remember this week's parsha. We remember sir habasar. Wow. We were eating meat in Egypt, and it was great, and it was beautiful, right? Plus, we were enslaved. And next time in Bamidbar, right? By the story of the Asaf Sufa found in Parshas Baloscha. Okay, that's two more, so that's eight down, two to go. Be'egel, so the Gemara doesn't need to expound on the Egel because that's a Parsha in Chumash, right? That's coming up later. Parshas Kisisa. So Be'egel Kedisa, the Gemara says, just look it up. Perek Lamed Beis in Shmos. And Be'midbar Paran Kedisa, and then finally the Meraglim, right? Number 10. Last and, as we just learned now, certainly not least. Last and, we can now say this because the Mishnah said it the worst, because it had to do with Lashon Hara. Okay, Amar of Yochanan. Okay, here we go. The Gemara now is really going to spend an entire daf of Gemara, more, daf plus, talking about Lashon Hara. Now, I told you, it's going to be a little bit of halacha and a lot of homiletics, a lot of medrash. Both sides of the coin are important. We need both sides of the coin. But you'll be surprised as to how little halacha is actually discussed in the Gemara itself. A couple lines of halacha. But mostly just how bad it is to speak Lashon Hara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we're on Tezvav Amud Beis, and we're four or five lines from the top of the Amud. Mishum Rabbi Yosef ben Zimmer, Ma'idichsi, Ma'itin Lacha, Ma'yosef Lach, Lashon Rimiyah. Right? What more could I have done for you? Lashon Remiah. Lashon is a tongue. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Lashon. And this is now Pasuk in Tehillim, and we're darshing the Pasuk, and this is what Akash Baruch Hu says to the tongue. Like, I couldn't have done more for you. I couldn't have done a single thing more. Kol Eivav Shel Adam Zekufim. Right? All the limbs of a person are vertical, meaning, right, up, down. Ve'ata Mutal, and you're horizontal. Okay? So you're in a more, so quote unquote, you're in a more subdued position. Kol Eivav Shel Adam Mibachutz Ve'ata Mibifnim. All the other limbs of a person are external. You're internal. I even built for you two sets of walls. One made up of bone, that's called our teeth, and one made up of basar, I guess that's called our lips. Like, could I have done any more for you? Meaning, I encased you, I protected you, and so you should be in a position where the tongue should not be saying any lashon hara. Okay, and of course sometimes it does, but the point is that Kadosh Baruch Hu showed us, demonstrated to us how important this tongue is, as it's different than any other of the extremities of the human body. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yosef ben Zimri called Masap lashon hara ki ilu kafar beikar. If you speak lashon hara, it's like as if you deny the existence of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, where do you turn for any discussion on lashon hara? So that's where the Chafetz Chaim made his claim to fame. Even without it, he would have been. But I'm saying, but one of the things that he did is he popularized the discussion about lashon hara. It is noteworthy. It is unbelievably noteworthy. And the more I think about it, the more I realize what a strong question. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about lashon hara, right? There is a body of law of lashon hara. Granted, it's not a lot. Meaning, as we'll see, we're going to go through the entire Gemara today. Okay, today and tomorrow. And you realize that it's not a lot of halachas, but still there's a body of law, and the Shulchan Aruch does not dedicate any discussion to the laws of Lashon Hara. The Rambam does, but even the Rambam dedicates half of one perek of Mishnah Torah. So there's really not a lot, meaning in
they have Lochiach,
your friend. Yeah, Tochach, which is, by the way, tomorrow's daf, and we'll come to discuss that tomorrow, but there's no body of law. So Lashon Hara, as you see right now in today's daf, like Lashon Hara is not because it's a lighter iser, it's extraordinarily serious. It's just hard to put my finger on what exactly was behind not making it into Shulchan Aruch. Okay, difficult issue. But anyway, meanwhile though, the Chafetz Chaim of, I would say, the previous generation, now we could say now two generations ago, but the Chafetz Chaim realized that, and so what Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan did is he authored a sefer on the laws of Lashon Hara. It's called the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. It's funny, we call him the Chafetz Chaim, but we do so based on the popular work that he wrote, that he authored, called the Chafetz Chaim. It's based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mi'ayisha Chafetz Chaim, right? Who wants to live a long life? The Sor Lashon Chameira, somebody who's careful about that which he says. So he writes, the Chafetz Chaim writes, that a lot of these Gemaras, like the one we just read, meaning kafar be'ikar, you deny the existence of God for one juicy bit of gossip. So the Chafetz Chaim says, no, this Gemara over here is talking about someone who is a Baal Lashon Hara, someone who is consistently speaking Lashon Hara. Okay, not that once in a while it's okay, it's not, but in other words, these very strong terms of the Gemara, kafar be'ikar, denies the existence of God, somebody who is consistent in speaking lashon hara. Shenamar Sharmula Shanenu Nagbirsev Sosenu Itanu Mi Adon Lanu. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, "We'll speak, and who's going to rule over us?" Okay. In other words, that's kafar beikar. Amar Rav Yosef ben Zimmer called Masapel Lashon Hara Negayim Bayim Alav. We'll see this a couple of times over the course of today. Speaking lashon hara is a prelude to tsaras, right? What we call leprosy, probably incorrectly, but tsaras. Shenamar. Someone who speaks privately about somebody else, I'm going to atzmis, I will cut him down. Uksiv hasam. Now, we have a pasuk in Parshas Bahar, litzmisus, that when you sell a house in a walled city, so it's sold indefinitely. Now, if you look at Targum over there, it says chalutin. Chalutin means indefinitely. Now, if it's non, Ein bein mitzara musgar, Litzara muchlat ela priya uprima. And then we have a Mishnah Megillah. And the Mishnah Megillah says that what's the difference between a mitzara muzgar and a mitzara muchlat? A questionable mitzara and a definitive mitzara. But you see the lashon of muchlat. So it's follow, right? Connect the dots. The Mishnah and Megillah of muchlat to Targum of achalutin to the pasuk of tzmisus to the pasuk and tehillim of atzmis. So you connect the dots, and you get from Lashon Hara to Negayim. Am Reish Lakish Maidik Siv Zosia Torah Samitzorah Zosia Taraso Shel Motzi Shemra. Gemara just does a new trick, and it does a mnemonic with the word Mitzorah. Mitzorah is Lashon Motzi Shemra. Am Reish Lakish Maidik Siv Im Yashoch Hanachash Velo Lachash Ve'en Yisron Labal HaLashon. Pasuk in Kohelet says, you know, It's like a snake biting, and inserts venom into its victim. And what did you gain by doing that? And in fact, the Medrash over here paints a picture where all the animals turn to the snake, in the world to come, and they say to the snake, like, I don't get you, like you don't make sense. Ari Doris Vaocha. Look, the lion, so he tears apart his prey, but he eats it afterwards. I get that. And Zev Torei Vaochel, and same thing about the wolf. Atam Mahana Yeshlach. But you, snake, you bite, you insert venom, you kill, and then you walk away. Or, of course, you're a snake, you slither away. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you don't make sense. So, Yeshlacha, sorry, Mahana Yeshlach. So Omer Lahem v'chima Yisron Labal Hashon. Now the Gemara, this is how the Gemara majestically understands the pasuk from Kohelet. The snake's response, well, same thing with the tongue. Meaning the person who speaks Lashon Hara, like he cuts other people, not physically but verbally, which as the Gemara will point out is worse. And what did you gain by that? Meaning you spoke Lashon Hara about somebody else, and what was your gain? You speak Lashon Hara, and your avonos go up to Shamayim. Shenemar shatu b'shamayim pihem. Their mouths are in Shamayim. Okay, obviously this is meant midrashically, but it means that the avon, the sin of speaking Lashon Hara, goes right up to Shamayim. Ulashonam tahalech ba'aretz. And meanwhile, their tongues are actually on the ground. Amrav chista, amrav ukva, kol masaper Lashon Hara, ilu seklo be'evin. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara, stone him. He's worthy. I've got to be careful about how I say this. Right? Ra'ui l'soklo be'evin. He's worthy to be stoned. K'siv ha'cha osi atzmitzu k'siv ha'sam samsu bebor chaye v'yado evin bi. Okay? The word samsu we already established is connected with speaking Lashon Hara. V'amar evchista amar maruf v'kol masapar Lashon Hara amar kash baruch ein ani v'hu yichon lador ba'olam. Someone who speaks Lashon Hara, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, there's not room enough in this world for me and him. Shenemar malshini b'seser re'ehu oso atzmis. Gava inayin v'rachav levav oso lo uchal. Right? Lo oso lo uchal literally translates as, I can't take him, but al tikrai oso lo uchal ela ito lo uchal. But we're going to play on the pasuk a little bit. It's not Oso, it's Ito. I can't live with him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now some say, same drasha, but not going on Lashon Hara, but rather on Gassas HaRuach, someone who's arrogant.
What's the difference between Oso or Ito?
Ito is just, Oso just simply means him. Ito means with him. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I can't live with him. Him and I can't be together. Oso just simply means in other words, I have issues with him. Ito means I have issues being with him. Yeah.
So, Ito is really like
imoso. Right. Imoso. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Marufa, Kol Masapar Lashon Hara, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, L'Star Shel Gehenem, Ani Alav Milamala, V'Ata Alav Milamata, Nidonenu. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of today, right, so there's going to be some very, very strong Gemaras against Lashon Hara. This is perhaps one of the strongest. Kosh Baruch Hu says to the Star Shel Gehenem, we'll tag team the person who speaks Lashon Hara, I'll go from the top and you go from the bottom. Shenemar chatzi gibor shinunim. Shinunim, sharp. Right? We know this for shinantam. Right? And chitze gibor, arrows that are sharp. Im gechalei risamim, together with coals. Ein chetz ela lashon. The sharpness here of the arrow is a reference to the tongue. Shenemar chetz shachut lashonam. They cut people with their tongue. Mirma diber, speak deceitfully. Ein gibor ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the gibor reference in that pasuk is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenemar Hashem ki gibor yatsa. Gachalei resamim hainu gehenim, and the burning coals is a reference to gehenim. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, me the gibor and you gachalei resamim will take care of the person who is the baal lashon hara. I'm Rabbi Chama bar Chanina matakanto shamastapi lashon hara. Okay, so what's your takana? Right, you spoke lashon hara, now what? How do you repair? So im tamachacham hu yasuk b'torah. So if you're tamachacham, so go learn Torah. Shenemar marpei lashon eitz chayim. The remedy for the tongue is eitz chayim, the tree of life. And we all know eitz chayim is a reference to Torah. Ein lashon ela lashon hara. Shenemar chetz shachol lashonam. The ein eitz ela Torah. The eitz chayim is a reference to Torah. Shenemar eitz chayim hila machazikem ba. The im am ha'aretz. But what if you are somebody who is not fluid and fluent in Torah? Now what? So, yashbil dato. You should make yourself humble. I'm not 100% sure what exactly that means. Learning Torah is a concrete act. Being mashbil dato, making himself humble, like, practically speaking, what does that mean? I understand from a midos perspective, but What is practically does that mean? Shenamar v'selef ba shever, right? You get rid. I'm sorry. Selef ba shever ruach, to get rid of the shever ruach. Selef ba, to get rid of it. Shever ruach is to break your spirit. Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Chanina Amar siper ein lo takana. If you already spoke lashon hara, ein lo takana. What are you going to do? Shikvar kartu David berech hakodesh and emar yachreis Hashem kol sisei chalakos lashon medaberes gedolos. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will cut down those who speak slanderously about others. Elamata kanto shalo yevoli de lashon hara and tamachachum yisek b'torah v'maaretzu yishpal da'ato. So the same advice, but as preventative, meaning, can it help you after you spoke lashon hara? No, you spoke lashon hara, you cut the person down. This methodology of either learning Torah or humbling yourself is only as the preventative nature to not speak lashon hara. Shenemar v'silef ba shever ruach. Tan debei Rav Yishmael. So it seems to be in the Gemara a machlokus whether or not you could do tshuva for lashon hara. Strange machlokus, meaning we normally assume you could do tshuva for any avera, but it seems to be up for debate in the Gemara. Continuing. We're going to compare someone who speaks lashon hara to the big three: avodas kochavim, gilu arayos, ushvichos damim. Okay, siv hacha lashon medaberes gedolos. The mouth has spoken great things. Great does not mean great good. Great means powerful, right? Uksiv avodas kochavim. And now we're going to see kind of like a gzeira shava. Ana chet ha'am hazeh chata gedola. Okay? And that's Avodah Zarah, that's the Egel Hazav. Gilo harayos ksiv ech ese hara ha'gedola hazos. When Yosef was petitioned by Eshes Potiphar, he says, I can't do that. And the word gedola is employed. Shvichos damim ksiv gadol avoni min so. Kayin. After having killed Hevel, Shvichos Damim, he says, Gadol Avoni. Now, Gadolos, Ematartin, the Gemara makes a suggestion, well, Gadolos, in plural, right, Tafasta Maruba Lo Tafasta, meaning not two, not three, but the Gemara says, I mean, I'm Mafka. What do you want to do? You want to take one of them out? Meaning, which one do you want to take out? Right, Rashi understands, it's a rhetorical question. Meaning, no, it's compared to all three. Bimarava Amre. Lashon Tilsai, Katil Tilsai. The Lashon Tilsai, now Rashi explains that we're talking about the Rachil, right? Rechilus, the peddler. Meaning after having overheard a conversation, so The human nature is that now you want to share. You want to take that conversation you heard or overheard about somebody, and you want to peddle that information somewhere else, hence the term rochel. So Rashi says, rechilus involves three people, has to involve three people. Tosfos over here, Perish Rashi Lashon Shlishi Shavachil Megalasod Vani Matzasi Kosev Lishna Tilsai Shikifu Hakadosh Baruch Hu Acha Shel Etzem Acha Shel Basar Vehu Shlishi Besocham. Meaning, Tosfos connects it to what we learned earlier this morning, that in the defense mechanism of your lips and your teeth, it's now third in line, right? The Lashon is the third back, and meanwhile breaks forward. Katil Tilsai, and you, tongue of the third, you end up killing three people. So who do you end up killing? Horig lemisapro, ulemikablo, uleomaro. The one who's talking, the one who's listening, and the one who's spoken about. Okay? Obviously the one who was spoken about didn't do anything wrong. It's not an offense, but obviously he's offended, right, deeply. Am Rabbi Chanina my dichsiv. Mavetz v'chaim biyad lashon. Life and death is in the hand of the tongue. V'chi yesh yad lashon. What a strange imagery. In the hand of the tongue? What does that mean? So lama l'cha, ma yad mimisa af lashon mimisa. A hand can kill somebody, so can your tongue. Ima yad ena mimisa ala b'samachla af lashon ena mimisa ala b'samachla. Now a hand, you can only kill somebody who's right next to you with your hand. You can't kill somebody with your hand, somebody who's far away. So maybe the same thing is true by the tongue. The Gemara says immediately, no. Your tongue is like an arrow. An arrow can hit somebody at a distance. But even an arrow, right, 40 amas, 50 amas, is that it? Your tongue can only go 40 to 50 amas away? So Tamil Amar, shasu b'shamayim pihem. Goes up to the heavens. Uleshonam tahalech b'art v'chim achad dechsev. So in other words, there's no limit. There's no limit to, you speak about somebody else, you kill them, even if they are at a great distance away. So v'chim achad dechsev shatu b'shamayim pihem chetz shachach uleshonam l'amale. So once I have the pasuk of shamayim, so then what do I need the arrow imagery for? Kamashman dekatu kechetz, because just if it were just shamayim, I understand how far the Lashon Hara travels. But it kills? Chetshach l'shonam. Yeah, it kills like an arrow. V'chim e'achar d'chsiv, chetshach l'shonam. Mavetz v'chaim b'yad l'shon l'amali. So why do I need the imagery of the hand? L'chadrav d'amarav d'bay chaim b'lishnei, d'bay misa b'lishnei. Because it can do both. Meaning it can serve both as chaim and as mavetz. Mavis, as we have been discussing now for the entire daf, Lashon Hara. Chaim, learning Torah. Hechidani Lishna Bisha. Okay, don't blink right now because the Gemara is about to talk about the halachas of Lashon Hara. Meaning, what's an example of Lashon Hara? Amar Rava. Yeah. Four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Kagon Damar Ikanur Be Panaya. Meaning, someone comes over and says, can I have a light? I know I have the image of smoking, but in other words, I need a fire. Where can I go for a fire? So you tell the guy, go to his house. He's got fire in his house. That the Gemara says is Lashon Hara. So the Gemara immediately recoils. It reacts. The Gemara says, Amar Leia Baya Maika Ovid Kilo Milsabama. What? Giving information is Lashon Hara? Somebody asks you a question. Where can I find fire? You point to the person's house and you say, over there. That's not Lashon Hara. So, Ela Damapik Belishna Bisha. Okay, critical moment of the Gemara right now. The Gemara says, when it comes to Lashon Hara, tone is extremely important. Meaning, if all you're doing is providing information, that's fine. But if you give a negative tone, a negative connotation to that which you're saying, then information turns into Lashon Hara. For example, Belishna Bisha Damar Hechim Ishtakach Nura Ela Bei Panaya. Meaning, you want to know where to get a fire? You go down to the end of the block. Oh my gosh, they always got a fire going on over there. You know why? Because the Achle Bistro Vekavre, they eat meat, they eat fish over there, meaning they are fressers. Okay? That's my third Yiddish word of the day. Fressers. A fresser, I know, I'm really cooking. A fresser means somebody who eats a lot. In Yiddish, when you say someone's fressing, it's more than he's just eating. He's
fressing.
Yeah, he's right. Right. Certain things which I don't speak Yiddish, you know, but I'm saying certain things which have such a, you know, such a ring to it when you say it in Yiddish. So so go down there because they love eating, and you're gonna find, and the grill is always on over their house. So you want a fire, go down over there. So now you didn't just give information. You didn't just simply notify, oh, there's fire at the end of the block. You then added a whole series of negative, you know, you called them fressers. Okay. You'll never do that, I know, but I'm saying it's not a, so inappropriate. Amar Rabbi Kol Milsa Dimit Amar Be'ape Mara Leis Be'mishum Lishna Bisha. Right? You'll hear people say this, and you'll say, really, is that an argument? Rabbi thinks it's an argument, which is, you know, I'm ready to say it in front of the guy himself. Right? And says Rabbi, if that's true, if that's the case, it's not Lashon Hara. Kol Milsa Dimit Amar Be'ape Mara Leis Be'mishum Lishna Bisha. Now, I got to be careful about how you say this Gemara. He says that if I say it in front of him, it's not Lashon Hara. So I'm like, Kol Shekein Chutzpah V'Lishna Bishna. Now, the Gemara's immediate reaction is, what are you talking about? That's not only Lashon Hara, it's Chutzpah also. Meaning, so now you want to say something bad about somebody. Oh, don't worry, he's right here. Okay, good. So now ring it up. It's Lashon Hara, and it's also Chutzpah as well. Amalei Anaka Rabbi Yossi Sfirli, but Rava is defensive. Rava says, no, I really believe it's not Lashon Hara. I hold like Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Rabbi Yossi, mi amai lo amai tadavar v'chazartu l'acholrai. Okay, no one raised hands, but how many times have you said something only to then turn around and check to see whether or not the person you're talking about is right behind you? Meaning, and Rabbi Yossi says, I never had to turn around and check. Not because he wasn't behind me, but simply because I never said anything that I wouldn't say not in his presence, or I wouldn't say in his presence. Now, Rashi over here writes, so I'm a lav lishna bishna chashiva. It's not considered lashon hara, meaning that if it's something that you would say comfortably, both with or without his presence, it's not lashon hara. Now, Rashi also offers a second pshat as well. Chafetz Chaim speaks a lot about this idea that if it's something you would say very comfortably in front of him, is it or is it not Lashon Hara, seems to be a machlokus in the Gemara. Meaning Rava thinks that it's not Lashon Hara, and I think Abaye, right? Is that the Bar Plukta over here? Okay, seems like it's Abaye. Abaye says, no, candidly it is. It's negative about him. And I simply, in other words, I would say this in front of him. So Rabbi says, it's fine, you know, he would do it. But the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara seems to disagree with him, although he says, I have Rav Yossi backing me up. And as the Chafetz Chaim points out, not everyone agrees with Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. Okay, Amar Rabba, Bar Rav Huna, last of the day. Unfortunately, we'll continue this tomorrow. You say something in front of three people, or something that was said in front of three people is no longer Lashon Hara. Because you know your friends have friends, and their friends have friends, and word's going to spread. Now, I'll start with this tomorrow, because everybody knows the Rambam. Meaning, even if you don't know the Rambam, right? Everybody knows the Rambam. And the Rambam is essentially going to say that if you say it in front of three people, so that means it's public knowledge, and therefore it's not subject anymore to the laws of Lashon Hara. What we'll start with tomorrow is, not everyone agrees with the Rambam, notably Tosfos. We'll learn Tosfos together tomorrow. Tosfos does not seem to subscribe to this, well, if it's public information, it's therefore not Lashon Hara. And we'll go over Tosfos tomorrow. Okay. Stop here, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, Amar Otsakash Rachu, the Zachar Sol, Sicha Chir, Ben Torah, Mitzvah, Shanem, Anech, Hafei, Tzamatziko, Yadil, Torah, V'yadir. Before Kaddish, just two things. Number one, learning we do today is Le'ilu Nishmas, Shakra Shlomo, Ben Mashallah. And number two, this evening, please join us for a Siyum that we're making on Masechta Becharos. It will be taking place in the social hall immediately after the conclusion, not immediately, shortly after the conclusion of Maariv.